Welcome to the sermon podcast of Faith Lutheran Church in Oregon, Wisconsin, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ crucified and the promises of God that our faith clings to. For more information, visit us online at faithlutheranoregon.com.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. You know, preaching on the Good Shepherd, on Good Shepherd Sunday, can sometimes be difficult because the image of the Good Shepherd is so common, so mainstream, that we take it for granted. Did you know there's a trend to hate everything mainstream? So if you're not hating everything that's mainstream, well, you should join the club. Right, you should get on the bandwagon. Ironically, though, doesn't that trend of hating what's mainstream actually become mainstream then, so you would then become what you hate? Anyway, I think that actually describes a lot of the world today, especially those who think that Christians are just stupid sheep, just following the crowd. And they don't want to be sheep themselves, so they run off thinking that they are unique. They want to be someone. They want to be known. But in going this way, they just fall in with the crowd, predictable, ordinary, mainstream, and sinful, without hope. Being known as an individual is a powerful thing. That's what Jesus says of his sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. You know, we are more connected than ever before and yet also more isolated than ever before. There have been studies done for just about every demographic group that you can think of that prove this to be true. Children, high schoolers, Gen Z, millennials, even all the way up to retired individuals. People can know all about me, but not know me. I could be surrounded by people, but have no one who knows me. Someone could go through my entire life, my entire digital life, from my social security information to my social media pictures, but still not know me. With AI today, it's even possible for a computer to know all about me, to talk to me using the right data that it's collected on me to give me the impression that it knows me and it has my best interests in mind. But it's programmed to do that, a highly complex system to collect and interpret personal data, but it doesn't actually know me. Based on a limited set of data, it just spits out a false picture. In fact, it seems it just wants to use me because the information it does collect on me, it just used to sell ads back at me. But it gives me the impression that it wants to know me. And so, in this world today, right, in our context, what a comfort it is for Jesus to say, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. But who do you know Jesus as? That's an important question. Because your knowledge of Jesus makes his knowledge of you either incredibly terrifying or immensely comforting. If you have a wrong knowledge of Jesus, the fact that he knows you seems unjust, uncalled for, and even intrusive. Who gave God the permission and the right to know me? That's the knowledge that Adam and Eve had immediately after they fell into sin and lost the image of God and the fellowship with God they had in the pasture of Eden. They hid. They had known God perfectly, but after they sinned, they hid. God comes looking for them, not that he needed to find them, he knew exactly where they were, but he comes looking for them as a shepherd does for lost sheep because he wants to help them. He wanted to restore them. He wants them to repent, to seek help. But what do? They become defensive. They believe that they are justified and that God has vengeful motives for coming after them and seeking them. Does this not describe the majority of our world today? Think of how many people that you know Whenever the topic of Christianity or the Christian faith is brought up in conversation, how often do they go on the defensive? They don't want to truly know God because they believe that they are justified already. And so they believe God to have vengeful motives. Do we believe this of God? Do we become angry at God when our sin is revealed? Describing us as sheep, like the Bible does, makes a lot of sense because sheep are foolish like this and will, if they don't listen to their shepherd, run right back into danger. If you'd put all the reasons that we might be weary and distrusting of God in a list and compare them, there will be a common cause. Our knowledge of God, then, is based on presuppositions and natural knowledge. In other words, not really knowing God how he wants to be known. We might know about God, and based on a limited set of data, both of ourselves and God, we've spat out a false image of God. And so the result is, well, maybe we simply want to use God. A wrong picture, a wrong knowledge of God is a lot like ghosting or casting off a real person and a real friend because you think a computer could know you better than that real friend. On the other hand, if you have a right knowledge of Jesus, him knowing you is immensely comforting and restorative. There's only one way to know Jesus. His voice. He is the good shepherd. His sheep hear his voice. It doesn't mean we hear him in our minds, but it means we pay attention to and cling on to every word of God. Jesus connects those two things. My sheep know me because they hear my voice. Now this knowing of him through what his word teaches about him, that has a bad rap today. Another word for this is doctrine. Right, doctrine. There's a false view and a criticism, and I just heard this again the other day, that when it comes to doctrine, we overemphasize it, we make mountains out of molehills. Or why does it matter, for instance, that Jesus has two natures, divine and human? Why does it matter that Jesus took on a human will? Why does it matter that Jesus rose and ascended bodily? That's all doctrine. Why do we need to know it? What matters because he is the one who makes the Father known. Anything that Jesus assumed or took on or became, including our human natures, he redeemed. If he didn't assume our human nature or wills, then we're not redeemed. And we could not know the Father except in the false and fearful way that Adam and Eve presupposed God. Jesus became man in order to know us. Not to observe or to watch us or to study us or keep an eye on us. He came to know us. And to know him, we need to know him as his word teaches. In other words, we need to know doctrine. Because doctrine is knowing Christ. Now, it's not as though we're saying that everyone needs to know trivia. Trivia doesn't matter. Trivia doesn't impact the faith. Doctrine, rather, are those things that have to do with knowing Christ. Doctrine is not knowing bits of trivia, bits of facts. Doctrine is knowing Christ. The sheep know him. Sheep don't simply know trivia. They know Jesus, their shepherd. They know Jesus as the scriptures present him. And so we need to know Jesus not merely in our minds, not merely what we think God is like, but we know Christ, we should know Christ as he wants to be known, through his word in the gathering together of his flock. My sheep hear my voice. So I encourage you, if you want to be known, know Jesus through hearing his word gathered together here with other sheep, in his flock. Know him in the breaking of the bread together with other sinners. Through these means he strengthens and preserves us and keeps us in the one true faith. He strengthens our knowledge of God and love of God. And it's in doing this that we find what a marvelous, comforting thing it is for our God to know us as a shepherd. Think about that. Our God knows us as our shepherd. He doesn't know you as a boss. He doesn't know you as a helicopter parent. He doesn't know you as a judge, jury, or even as executioner. He knows you as a shepherd knows his sheep. He knows when they get hurt. He knows when they run off. He knows when they are hungry and need green pastures. He knows when they are thirsty and need clean streams. He knows his sheep. He knows what his sheep need. And so someone who is overlooked by the world, known of, known about, but not truly known, Jesus the Good Shepherd doesn't overlook them. He pursues them with all his love and concern. Someone who is troubled by their sin, who sees themselves as unworthy, as lowly and needy in their own eyes, the Good Shepherd comforts them. They need not and should not look to themselves for their comfort, but to look to him. There are the weak. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes to them with his power to protect them. There are those who are ignorant. Jesus speaks simply to them. Jesus knows his own. He knows what we need. He knows us not in general, not just in general, but he knows each and every sheep individually. That's how great his love is for you. He knows if you are weak or strong, sick or well. He sees your temptations and dangers, and hears your cry. You're part of the family, part of the flock. You're not an outsider. You're not a guest. You're not one in a billion vaguely similar-looking animals. You're known. He knows you as the Father knows the Son, and as the Son knows the Father. That's how much Jesus knows you. Think about that intimate union of the Trinity. By baptism, you become part of that union in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your Good Shepherd knows you. So know him. He is your Lord, who has redeemed you, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won you from all sins and from death, from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, in order that you might be his own, that you might live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives, and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. That's doctrine, but your life is there. You know your shepherd. Your Good Shepherd laid down his life so that he might take it up again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.